thanks everyone for coming. And
I have no idea how these things could go any way
direction.
Possible. But Amber asked me if we could have some sort of impromptu conversation as opposed to me just asking her questions. And so maybe we can leave a little bit of time for any questions people have. Just to give some context, so Amber and I have sort of had this strange ongoing conversation with each other as two painters.
Today's the first time we've met.
But we've only ever met in person today, We talked on the phone and we've... it's one of those things where you write a message every now and again and bounce things around with somebody else. And then we had this very sort of beautiful but strange experience where, you can correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but the way I remember it is that at one stage Amber posted some photographs of some works on paper that she was making that I thought was just absolutely beautiful. And we had talked about doing an exchange of a painting, one another's paintings, an old school sort of swap. And you posted one of these images which you very kindly said had been informed by some of the work that I'd made.
Yeah.
And then the painting that I got from you in our exchange was sort of, I think, loosely based on that
drawing.
On that drawing, and that now sits next to where I sleep. So in the nighttime when I'm disturbed, I reach out. I can feel. She's still. It's all good. It's all good. It's a very tactile. It's sort of got this very natural feeling to it. But then I then made a painting based on.
You did a watercolour based on the painting.
That's right, yes.
And then I messaged and went, well, I made this drawing based on... I showed him the history of like where I got the reference material for the painting.
That's right.
And then the drawing I'd done from the reference material. And I said, oh, you can have it. But, oh, no, it was someone else's and yours had gone to someone else.
It's slightly blurry, let's
but
be honest.
So there's actually like four or five works...
That have sort of...
That we've both done kind of related to this one image that we've both got from different sources at different times.
Yeah.
It should be lovely to show, actually.
For sure.
In hindsight.
Yeah, Nick, you can...
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah. It's one of those beautiful things, like we were talking the other day about appropriation, which I always thought was just a nice way of saying stealing from people. But this is one of those beautiful things where... At least for me, I took that image because it resonated with me and it gave me a starting point, but then the work became its own thing.
Yeah.
And I think that happens a lot.
Well, I think also what I loved about our dialogue, and I think in this day and age with Instagram and painting and, you know, I mean, all art's always done it. You grab and you transfigure it and you move it and it comes out. But I think it's just so nice to ode and honour rather than to... I didn't do that or something. And I think it's really lovely, especially as contemporary painters, to honour our peers and honour where that stuff comes from. And I think then if there's a dialogue around that, especially in the titling, I think you titled one something AW or something like that. And I think that it can be really open. And then it supports that dialogue rather than negates that dialogue.
Yeah, and it's also diffusing the idea that these things come out of nothing.
Yeah.
Like they never come out of nothing. They're always informed by something else.
Yeah.
And part of the struggle as an artist, I think, is to embrace that that's a natural way to work.
Exactly. And I think that transmutation happens when you are alone in your studio and then you're faced with the thing. And that's when yourself comes out.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's where things change in terms of technique or technicality or those other things that are floating around in your brain.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I take comfort. I was listening to John Frusciante, the guitarist who's played on and off with the Chili Peppers over many years, and he was being asked about one of their most well-known songs, and he just openly said, oh, that just comes from such and such, another song. And they played the song, and I said,
oh.
He literally just lifted that, and then he's made it his own, but
it's
everyone seems to do that. Like, you take something as... It gives you somewhere to start, and then you bring something of your own to it, so...
Yeah.
That's been our natural connection.
I do, and I think one thing I wanted to ask you about... By the way, we're unscripted. We don't know what we're going to talk about today. But one thing I did want to talk to you about was structure. I know that's maybe a boring technical thing. Maybe it's interesting for some, but I think structurally I'm quite interested in how you work. I kind of look at your works and think, is he grabbing Renaissance triangles or spirals? And because I think what we both do is we both have a bit of a flat picture plane. We both chuck in abstraction, we both chuck in figuration. We don't have a huge amount of perspective. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And what we both deal with, I think, is the other a lot of the time, and the spiritual, or the things that you can't quite grasp. Mm. And I'm quite interested how you work in structure. And for me at the moment, I've got kind of these voyeuristic curtain shapes, openings. And I just wonder if there's something that you kind of deal with.
So in terms of how the painting is built?
How it's built, yeah.
It used to be a thing where I would have usually one image or a few images that I thought, that's going to give me a painting, and I would almost make a painting that was of the photograph. And after a while I realized how stagnant that was for me, and so now what I do is I just try to embrace the fact that every one of the paintings is going to be different. So what worked for one is not going to work for something else. And once you embrace that, it's really liberating. But what I think tends to happen is it's a whole lot of things that feed into, if I can just get something that gets me started, then the process takes over.
Yeah.
And so that thing that gets me started might be words, or it might be a collection of images, but it's not, the painting is not based on something that's static. It's got a whole lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And for a long, long time, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing most of the time until it starts to feel like it's loft itself in. So then how were these started then?
I mean, I think, like most painters, I think we actually all work pretty similarly, you know. And I think it's actually kind of basic, and it's kind of the same.
Don't tell everybody that.
But I think for me, for some of you in the room, some of them are painted on raw linen, some of them aren't. And I think if we come back to technical, especially for those that are students in the room, and I know there are some, you know, working on raw linen is incredibly different to working on not raw linen. So that's a raw, that's a not, that's a raw, that's a not. And the raw linen is incredibly tricky because you've only got a couple of coats before it changes. So for me, if I'm working on a raw linen, I'm really approaching it like a drawing. And in terms of all those different things that chuck into a painting, I mean, for me, a raw linen is a multitude in that you can only work it so much before you lose it. It just turns into a surface then. You lose that softness, so you can only do about three layers. And the other thing for me about the raw linen is I used it directly in response to having my child. And it became about time. So when you don't have time, I found for me working on the raw linen, I couldn't overwork. You know, one bit did one thing, another bit did another, and I can only really do three goes. So if I had a, you know, if my daughter slept twice when she was little and breast, you know, small, I can only be in there for such short jabs. So I had to make every line count. And for me, that was a huge turning in the way that I work and the way that I paint. And I think fundamentally, so many painters are essentially drawers. What you guys see is a paint, but I think for me, I'm fundamentally a drawer. It's just that I paint. And I think the way I'm approaching primed canvas now is very different, and I'm approaching it in the same way. So you can see that there's only a layer or two on these. And what happens is, being a parent, is I can't thrash something out. I look a lot because I don't have time. So they are operating very differently in response to life circumstances.
You mean you spend longer looking at them?
Yeah, I do, because I think the time, I have to make it count, because as we talked about, if you're limited to a school hour or a daycare hour or something like that, I can't just be like, I'll just cut a coffee and I'll just make some. You know, you have to be there and you have to work, and that doesn't mean thrashing something to killing it. It means doing, for me, it means doing something that's considered to get what I want across with the least amount.
But the looking is integral. It's taken me so long to figure this out that the looking is just as important as when you're actually applying paint. So I used to tell myself I wasn't actually working unless I was physically painting. But now I paint less and look more. It's a strange thing.
I think it's very common, though. I do think it's something that as you get at your practice more. I think so many painters, the older they get, I think it's a very common thing that most of us come to, and that understanding of what is it that I really need to do. And if you really need to thrash something out, you know that that's what you need to do, or work really heavily, or, you know, something.
But it brings me to something, what you're talking about brings me to something that I've been thinking about with your paintings for a long time, which is the idea of tenderness, which is funny that maybe we easily look at or have looked at something like that as almost as a weakness in something like painting, but I think it's such a strength, and I mean tenderness on a number of levels. So when you talk about painting as a mother, and I also bookmark my working day with the time I have with my daughter, so so we're very similar in that sense, but the tenderness in terms of what you're talking about carries that sense, that it's a tenderness. I think the works perhaps come out of that everyday experience of things like family. And
well, I think for me what I did, and I think maybe this is where our experience differs a little, but I think when I had my daughter, I realised that if I didn't get better at my practice, I was going to drop out and I was going to lose it. And I knew that I had to get better. The other thing I knew that I had to do was I was up against men. Mm-hmm. And what I kind of decided was, I was like, if Ben, and I love Ben Quilty's work, if Ben is doing big, thick, gestural painting, how do I do the opposite and be just as strong? Because that's the feminist side of it, right? How do I go up against a masculine gestural abstraction? And for me, it was doing the opposite. It was working so light and so gently, which I deem as a feminist practice, and working on a material of raw linen, that one, which is again a feminist materiality.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I also see it as a direct, conscious decision to go up against a lauded masculine painting fad. Maybe not a fad, but, you know, going back to gestural abstraction. So I think there was a very conscious decision to be tender. And also, I was talking earlier about a stillness and a gentleness and a femininity within the stillness, even if the subject matter is complicated.
Mm.
And I think I strive for a stillness in them, and I think you have a stillness and a tenderness too, you know, and a calm rather than an aggression.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the tenderness carries through with your work, I mean, in terms of a number of things. So, I mean, working on the raw linen is like, there's an immediacy to it, and I like that you talk about it being more like a drawing.
Yeah.
So if you look at that picture over there,
yellow awning, yeah.
It's more like a drawing than anything.
Yeah.
And it's such a gutsy thing to leave all that space and think that's enough.
Yeah,
and a reproduction of that is not going to convey the fact that that painting shifts as well in its surface.
Yeah,
and I admire that, because I look at that and think, I don't know if I'd have the guts to do that. It's either laziness or gutsiness. So I think that I mean, it also, when I come in to see this show yesterday, I am thinking about your work. For some reason, my mind thinks more toward, I think about music as someone that listens to a lot of music. But this reminded me of an album that's got, you know, beautiful, and all of your work, I mean, it's about, it's got these sort of works or songs which are layered, and like they took a lot to get to, and they're exalting, and then there's ones that are like, just there's a simplicity to them that they carry just as much weight as the other one. And it's to get the relationship happening between those different ways of working is really challenging, and I think that you seem to do that really well. So I learn looking at them, and it makes me think about painters I'm making at the moment. I go, maybe I don't have to actually work that part so much. Maybe
you can just be
what it is, you know what I mean? Like the small section underneath that painting there.
Oh, yeah, the lines.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. That's where I'm just trying one thing and realise it's not going to work, so then I try another thing. But it just stays.
So I think, you know, that it's a rare thing for some reason. Like I wish it wasn't, but I think there's a lot of artists who sort of have figured out how to make a painting, and they keep making that in a sense. And I'm not criticising that; it's a different way of working, but it's not really what I'm interested in doing. And I think keep shifting it.
Yeah, I think I do like that resonance between something that's moving and something that's quiet at the same time. Yeah. And I do like that space between, and I think we both work in that space between things that aren't quite graspable. Mm. Or they can be many things at once, or they can stem from past and be future and be abstracted and be about colour. And it doesn't have to be something that's really obvious and really clear. It can be something that is a multitude of different things.
Yeah, which is what you do. Like, when I look at them, sometimes the titles will give a little lead into maybe what the subject matter was, like the starting point was, or but they're obscure, so you're not entirely sure what it is, and it could be a number of different things, and that's the beauty of it, and that's the impact of it.
Yeah.
There's an ambiguity there that I think you traverse really well.
Yeah. I don't like it to be obvious. Yeah.
Well, you're navigating that already so beautifully.
Yeah.
Should we ask if anybody has any?
Yeah,
open
the floor. Anyone? Yeah.
You mentioned like ambiguity, and before you mentioned like voyeurism.
Yeah.
I wonder if like when you're making these works, especially like if you have one pass at it, you know, on linen, you don't have a lot of time, don't have a lot of goes.
Yeah.
Are you ever thinking of the viewer when you're making the work in terms of like, you know, space for them to be in the work, or is it very personal?
No,
just
I try not to, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the viewer,
mm-hmm.
and so I think generally most painters are like, is it working for me? Am I getting what I need out of it? Is it done? Is that colour right? Is that energy right? What is it? But honestly, I think if we thought of the viewer, we'd be stuffed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for me, what I've learned in the last 4 years is actually to definitely not think of the viewer and to be intuitive and to follow your thing, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's not, I'm not going to get into a prize, I'm not making still lives because everything's landscape, I can't do that, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think is if you're as honest as you can with your weird brain sometimes and the way that you do, I think that's always the strongest route. And it's very hard, and it's very easy to kind of, oh, maybe I should be doing this whole, you know, but I think the purer you can be with yourself, actually the stronger the work is.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's a long, tricky lesson, because I think also it takes time to understand things technically. And I think now, and I'd say, you know, you're the same, I think we've both got, you know, 15 years full-time practice, 20 years practice under your belt, where I know if I pick up that brush and that colour, I know what it's going to do. Whereas I think when you're earlier and you're navigating and you're looking at stuff, you're still learning so much about what this does to that, and often you're stumbling upon things. Whereas I think there's a different thing happens a bit later because you've got a lot more control of your medium. Yeah.
But then it's about finding, when you get to that, it's about finding an honesty.
Yeah.
And maybe a vulnerability in terms of letting the paintings be.
Yeah.
Like I have this belief that you sort of allow a certain amount of space for something else to enter into the painting. It's almost like there's a large part of it that might be outside of yourself, and that happens with the way that people bring different readings to works, or certain things will just connect in ways that you could never have planned. And somehow I'm still trying to learn that, but how to leave enough space for that.
Yeah, for the other, for the magic, for the spiritual. For,
yeah.
And I know when I've taught too, there's a lot of students that get very caught up in that. And I always say if we treat that as inherent in the process of our artistic practice, it means that we can then maybe be more objective after that. Kind of energy can come in when you're really working and it's happening. And I was saying earlier to friends, I'm like, oh, how's it feel being around art? I'm like, well, there's an objectivity that happens too, because sometimes you go, how do I do that?
Mm.
You know, wow, oh yeah, I'm great, or oh god, I'm terrible. But I do think, you know, there is the other of creativity, whether it's reading, writing, music, art, I mean, it's what we all see it for, is for the magic that it holds and that
But we've become, we were talking about this the other day, we've become so good at being able to sum up an artist's practice in
two paragraphs, explain your practice in no more than
100 words.
Yeah.
And sometimes on those, I would love to have on something, Adam Lee doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I really liked Red that day.
Because it's you can tell yourself that's summing up, that you've figured it out, but the moment that you think you've figured that out, it loses something.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge navigating how those things can sit together, because you also have to understand why things like that are written, is to try and help people understand the work. But yeah, as the one making it, the more conscious you are of it, the more it stifles you, you know.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is a constant navigation.
Yeah.